What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
So welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh news highlighting the Africans and African-Americans who have seen success within the sport. We will also bring you soccer news from our favorite teams within the Premier League, as well as informing you about European leagues and soccer news worldwide. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, I just want to say thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Once again, my name's Cornelius, and I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Gabriel, how you feeling tonight?
I'm all right, man. Salam, how you feeling?
Good, man. No complaints. Mike, how about you?
I'm doing well. How about you, Cornelius?
Good, man. It's been a good weekend, you know. Closing out this January pretty strong, I would say. My team didn't do as well as I'd hoped, but shout out to the Cleveland Crunch, you know, another win. We got Gabriel on the pod, man. Shout out to the Cleveland Crunch, starting off the season strong, 3-0, 4-0 now, I believe. I think their goal differential is like plus 50 at this point. So Gabriel, a little bit about that game, about that match last night. A tough 7-4. But
it's tight.
Yeah, it was Chicago's always a good game. I'm just to know, I'm hurting right now. My neck is, if you see me make a face, my neck feels terrible. But Chicago's a good team. We don't like them, they don't like us. Scrappy game, but we was able to get a dub 7-4. We didn't even play our best, if I'm being honest. I think our first half was super bad. Not super bad, but just not up to our standards. But we played a lot better second half and was able to get the dub. So, yeah, happy about it, man.
Good to hear. Hopefully you can rest up and get better. We know that, you guys got another game coming around the corner. But before we get into our teams, just want to talk about a few transfers that we didn't get to last week and a few that just kind of happened not too long ago. So the Kyle Walker deal finally went through. He is on loan to AC Milan. Kyle Walker, 6-month loan. And I think I don't believe there is a buy clause there. So I think he'll be coming back to City at the end of the loan. Milan is kind of in an interesting spot because they're pretty low on the Serie A table when you look at where they are. But as far as Europe, they're doing pretty well in Champions League. So do we think this Kyle Walker to Milan helps them, you know, in the Champions League? In the league, it might be a little bit too late for them to make a run, but who knows? You know, it's still a lot of time left with it only being 22, 23 match weeks in. But what do y'all think about this Kyle Walker to Milan?
I think he helps any team, honestly. I mean, especially in Italy where you don't have it's not the same pace as the Premier League. So he doesn't have to run as much. He's still decent on the ball. He can still defend, you know what I mean? So I think this helps AC Milan tremendously. Him and Teo Hernandez on the outsides. That's a pretty good, solid back line. A lot of experience. I mean, Champions League winner. He's pretty much won everything. So, I think this is great for them. I think this will help their team a lot.
Yeah, like Gabriel said, I think his, you know, athleticism and is going to translate well to Serie A. I think, you know, you've already seen a lot of guys go from the Premier League to Italy and find success right away. I think that he's going to be a success. And I mean, they don't really need to rely on him, I think,
right,
for where he's at in his career. You know, even if he comes in and just supports in Champions League, I think that that's enough. So, AC Milan definitely got better.
Absolutely. They did get better. I'll be surprised if, you know, they don't make a push to, you know, get closer to the top four in Serie A. But it's a good pickup for them. I think it'll come in good for them for the end of the season push and the Champions League.
I agree with everybody there. Just looking at Serie A table right now, Milan is in seventh place, sitting on 34 points. And, you know, another team that just went and picked up a player here this January transfer window, also in Serie A, is Juve, getting Kolo Muani from PSG. And as Mike said a little bit before we started recording, he's already scored. So, you know, Juve right now is 3 points ahead of Milan, sitting on 37 points in fifth place. So if you look at fourth place, Lazio at 39 points, that fourth place spot still up for grabs. Atalanta is also at 46 points. So they're really not that far out of the race either, sitting at third place right now. So you see Kolo Muani is adding an attack that already has Yildiz from Turkey. It has Timothy Weah from U.S., and then we also have Conceição from Portugal, Vlahovic from Serbia. So these are some guys that are some heavy hitters. Do we see that, you know, that Juve could possibly make a run here in Champions League and in, you know, as they go to try to make a run in the league as well?
No.
Why?
Still don't see it. I don't think they're a complete team yet. I still think that they have holes, and I still don't think that these players are as consistent as they need to be. I think Juve's problem since, honestly, Ronaldo's left has been the consistency. They just haven't been a consistent team, always up and down. They might give a good performance here or there, but, you know, with the Champions League format, how it is now, and their standings right now in Serie A, I don't know. I really don't see them going too far in Champions. I think they can make a top four run for sure. But I don't think, you know, I don't know. This team is not sold on them, man. I'm not. It's a great signing, though. Kolo Muani is a great signing. Get it twisted. But I don't see them doing too much.
Damn, I didn't realize that they were, like, this many points off first place. Like, Napoli has 53 points in first place, and Juventus has 37, which is crazy. But and Fiorentina is right behind them with 36 points. So I think he helps. I think that they've definitely needed a consistent threat going forward. But, you know, I think that they just have had a really bad start to the season, but I don't think that their team is bad necessarily. This is probably one of their better teams in recent years. They went through a pretty bad slump ever since Ronaldo left, but yeah, I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's a needle mover right now based on
what happened to Dusan Vlahovic. What happened?
He's still there, but
he's still there, and I mean, I think he's good. I think every transfer window, I feel like he's always linked with, you know, somebody, another team. But again, it's someone who I felt like, I don't know, bro. It's so crazy how football moves so quick. I remember like when we first started this podcast, like Vlahovic was just coming out. He was like, oh, he's rumored to go here and here.
Yeah,
and here we are, and probably what, 5 years later, 4 years later, and it's like, oh, you're still at Juve. And not saying that Juve is a small club, but I just don't think that he's really done much since the great start that he had, which is obviously, I mean, they had to go get another striker, so like shit, you know, obviously,
yeah, exactly,
they needed more help, but.
Yeah, I mean, Juve's in a weird position right now, but they just lost their first game in what, 29 games to Napoli. So that says that, you know, they're doing something right. They just haven't figured it all out. And Kolo Muani gives them a different, you know, attacking option, gives them a different look. So I think it's a good pickup for them. I think it's a loan though, right? It's not a full transfer. It's a loan. Yeah, so, you know, he's not going to stay there. Well, it depends. So you never know what happened, but I think for now it's good for them to at least push to stay top four and hopefully make it back in Europe. But as of right now, I'm just – Juve is not that scary. But the thing is they're not losing games. So they're doing something right, but I still think they need to find team to really get to Napoli's, you know, level.
Yeah, man, I wanted to shout out Weston McKennie too, man. I saw a clip of him not too long ago talking about, I think it was on, I think there's like a new doc out. I don't know if it's about Pulisic.
It's
and he was talking about just like, you know, every year in the summer, it's like there's all these rumors about me leaving, you know, me getting sold, me going here and here. But it's like every year I found a way to, you know, kind of reinvent myself. and provide value to the team and, you know, contribute. So shout out to him, man. I feel like a lot of American players get, you know, hated on just because they're American. But as an American fan, as someone who is American, I feel like this is definitely our best era of football in terms of, like, having players on these European teams and, you know, contributing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Salam. And that's a great point you bring up about Weston McKennie, because when you look at McKennie and kind of his journey, this was one of the young guys that was kind of, you know, when you look at our American players now, he had this sort of the same trajectory as a player like Pulisic. You know, very, very young, he started playing in Europe, you know, on Schalke, and how he's been in Europe for the majority of his career, you know, and how he's moved around and how he's found favor here, got injured there, maybe wasn't in favor, a new manager. He had to go through the ringer, and for him to, you know, stay on Juve. And I think now that Tim Weah is also over there, there's a little bit more security. You know, he feels a little bit more security. He's kind of like the big bro over there, and he's taken that in stride. And you're starting to see it as a part of the U.S. team now. I think now a lot of these guys are becoming more mature. You know, they've had their ups and downs, and they've started to push through, you know, those hurdles that some people make it and some people don't. So it's interesting to see where a lot of these guys are, and that's a good point about Weston McKennie. I think he's going to be a player moving forward for the U.S. team that we're going to need. He's going to definitely be a centerpiece. Yeah. But right before we talk about our teams, just want to confirm that the Naomi Girma deal to Chelsea has officially been signed, sealed, and delivered. Officially the most expensive woman transfer ever at 1 million British pounds. Shout out, Naomi Girma. Shout out. That's huge. For Chelsea, for the U.S., and for Chelsea. Obviously, she knows the pedigree that Chelsea is right now. And so she has some big, you know, some big boots to step into, for real. But this is huge for her career, especially so young, and just proud of her, and can't wait to see what she does as a Chelsea Blue.
Yeah, I mean, the women, American women's soccer is miles ahead, you know, of the men. If you want to look at, you know, impact and players and all of that, but we all know how it is. Men's sport always have the popularity than the women's sport, but I feel like American women's soccer is on a different level. They just had this is the second American go to Chelsea in the last 2 years, I believe. Yeah, well, Stanford students as well.
Yeah,
both of them are Stanford.
Both students. Teammates at Stanford, Kat Mercari. Yeah. Shout out Kat.
Yeah, this is impressive. I mean, this is good for the women's game also in general, because we're seeing the transfer fees go up now. I mean, they've hit a million. It's crazy to me. This is the first million-dollar player in women professional soccer.
Yeah, that's actually.
Like, you can think of some of the guys that have came through, like the Ambi Wambachs. You even look at
the guys, even the girls.
Yeah, Alex Morgan. the
women. I'm sorry.
Alex Morgan, Wambach, Rapino, yeah. Some of the
even Chelsea's recent striker. I'm surprised she wasn't a million. Yeah, you know, she didn't even hit that yet.
I think it's crazy that she's a defender too and not a striker. Usually, you see these numbers for, you know, attacking players, you know, like strikers, attacking mids, you know, things like that. But for a center half to. This is like Virgil treatment, you know. Like this is wild. I think it's great for the sport. I love to see the numbers going up, you know, more money being, you know, invested into the sport, higher transfer fees and things like that. I love to see it, but I think it adds to it that, you know, she's a defender and not even an attacker, and she's the, you know, the highest transfer fee. Shout out to her, man, for sure.
Yeah, man, best center back in the game. No question.
Yeah, so
Chelsea got two good center backs too, but this one's not close.
Yeah, shout out Salam. You've been tuning her as the number one center back in women's sports, and I think now this backs everything up that you've had to say, that we've had to say, and that, you know, the world is going to see now. And as y'all said, I think this is very, very good for women's sports. And Salam, like you said, I think the U.S. women's team has been pushing the needle for women's equality in sports and just for women's sports in general. You know, when you look at what they've done over the last decade plus, World Cups, you know, Olympics, they're just kind of the standard at this point. So it's dope to see that they're kind of getting their, you know, what they deserve on that front. But pushing it to the men's side now, before we get into our specific teams, I do want to talk about Ange Postecoglou and the Tottenham Hotspur. So, yeah, he's definitely not shining like no AP. That's for sure.
He ain't busted down like an AP.
Yeah. It's very plain Jane right now. Very plain Jane. Yeah. Ange is he was reported to, you know, bark a little bit at upper management, saying that if they didn't make any January transfers, that, you know, they would be playing with fire, given that Tottenham have lost 13 now of their 23 Premier League matches. We could talk about how many injuries they got. We've been talking about it all year. They really haven't done anything this January transfer window. Now Ange is trying, you know, starting to say he's been talking all month. He's been talking since January or since December, since these injuries started happening, since he started to bring back players early, as in the Chelsea game, when I think they should have been, you know, rested still, and which aggravated some of these players' injuries. But there's been a lot of back and forth between Ange and just the players and the fans and the board this year. We're seeing that Ange ball, that honeymoon they had for these last couple of years, is starting to fade away. What do we think is going to happen with this guy? Do we see him staying their manager through the end of the year? Do we see Tottenham going and getting anybody else in January, with this being the last month of the window? What do we see happening with this squad?
I mean, I don't think that he's going to last for the rest of the season. I think that I don't really remember how quick Levy sacked the previous manager. I mean, he sacked Jose pretty quick, but
Conte.
Yeah, Conte, another guy that was outspoken. So I feel as if, like, the more outspoken he gets, the more likelihood there is of him leaving. Because, you know, especially with these American owners, I don't want to tie this in with United, but you'd only get this issue with American owners. Chelsea seemed to be the only team. Boehly seems to be the only person where it's like, okay, this is a guy, this is a, I guess, an American guy who, if it came down to it, they would spend. He's not wrong for saying the things that he's saying. He was wrong for trying to rush Romero back and Van der Ven back, and ultimately now they're missing more time than probably was anticipated. But I feel like these type of situations happen, and if you really believe in this guy, if you really believe in this manager, then I feel like you have to back him. You know, he's all jokes aside, I feel like he's, I would, like, they haven't gotten worse with him, you know. So I feel like he's done enough for them to invest in the squad, but I don't think that they're going to. And ultimately, you know, the more outspoken Ange gets, Levy's not going to like that, and he's probably going to cut ties.
I mean, I think it Spurs, I mean, if you look at the last four managers they have, they're all doing well. So yes, maybe, you know, Angie might go. I mean, there's been some certain decisions they've made these past few years that just didn't make sense. So is it time to maybe go through this with Angie and give him time? I mean, we all see the injuries they've gone through. It's definitely affected the season in one way or the other. Like, if you want to agree or disagree, but it definitely has affected the season. So I'm saying, if you let Angie go, who are you bringing in that's going to settle the ship and make this better anytime soon?
No, I don't think anyone.
I think give Angie some time.
I think this team needs to go to the championship. I think they need to get relegated. Yeah. They're so bad, bro. They're so bad. I think they messed up not re-signing Kane, if I'm being honest. I think this has in large part with them putting their money on, into Son and not to Kane. I always think Kane was I always thought Son was going to stay regardless. And I think they should have really – I don't know. I think this team is just really, really poor. And, yes, injuries hurt, but we're injured. So, you know, I don't think anyone coming in is going to really fix this. I think this club is rotten from the top to the bottom, bro. This club is truly rotten from Levy down, bro. Like, it's just rotten, bro. It's rotten. You have to gut it, bro. You have to gut this entire club. And, you know, if I'm being honest, Levy should have sold this club already. They need new ownership. They need new direction, because obviously this guy is not the guy that's going to get them over the hump. I don't think this is an Ange issue. He has a part to play for sure. His tactics, we figured them out a long time ago. You know what I mean? You don't have the players to support what you want to do. So, you know, I think he has part to blame, but it's just rotten from the top down, bro. Everything. They have a new stadium, which is nice, but outside of that,
it's rotten. No, but that should tell you. It's like you would rather, and United's doing the same thing, like, you take care of the stadium first, and it's like you want to be this state-of-the-art entertainment center where you do more than just football, and it's like you neglect like the actual like the personnel of the players, and it's like you're so willing to sacrifice results, performance, so that you can make profits. a buck somewhere else. I don't know, man. I feel like I agree with both of your guys' points. I feel like there's only so much that these managers can do. And it's like when you look at, you know, the three teams that have American ownership that are kind of like, look at Arsenal, American ownership. Like Arteta's done a good job to get you guys where he's gotten you. He just needs a little bit more. I don't know. Yeah. We can argue maybe he was given that little bit more and he chose this person and this person instead of this player or this, you know, filling this position. But it's like, I don't know, man. You look at Man City, they had issues. What do they do? You bought someone who is, I don't know. You bought someone who's really, really good, just like that. So I don't know, man. It's just, I think it's the ownership. It's the ownership. If these guys were Qatari, they would have came in, got him what he needed. Let's move on. I think Chelsea would have done the same thing too.
Probably. He's gone.
But Ange's gone. Yeah, AP's gone.
Good.
Yeah, I agree. I think we've seen enough of him. It's sad, man. I saw a stat about Heung-min Son. I believe his transfer to Spurs was in 2014. Let me make sure I get this right.
From Leverkusen.
Wasn't it 2014?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like he got there in the latter part of the 2010s.
So however long it was, since from then until now, zero trophies. And I look at a player like that and, you know, in his career, and it's just like, dang, a player like that to have gone through everything he's gone through, club and country, the, you know, the pedigree we've held Son to, and for him to just go whole career, no trophies, is kind of sad, you know? And that'll be the legacy of Tottenham for as long as it is until they want to figure out, you know, what's going on. So I don't know. That club, for me, you know how I feel about it. They're always going to be little brother. And until they figure out what it is, then I'm just going to treat them as such. But moving on to our teams, you know, as tradition goes, the team that loses does have to go first. Chelsea, ring the bells. Ring the bells. We are... It's tough, honestly, bro, because You know, shout out Zion. I do have to shout out Zion.
Shout out Zion, man. God's plan. It's a lot of bad things that they wish it. Shout out to Zion, man. Praying hands emoji, man.
We watched the match together and shout out Eric Jackson as well. My two city friends over here. We watched the match together in real life, IRL, as the kids say. And for the match to start the way it did, I was actually driving to the spot, so I missed the first goal live. But to walk in and see us up 1-0 didn't actually make me any more excited than it being 0-0, because I know who Chelsea is. I know we're going to get scored on. But the ways in which the goals were scored, for me, is the most frustrating part. And, you know, we've said this before, and we'll say it again. Robert Sanchez has just got to go. You know, there's no more defending him. You know, he's a terrible keeper, and for us to have come this far in the last 3 years as a club and still be where we are because of this keeper is kind of telling, you know. And now it's showing up in very, very big and important times. You know, we're 23 matches into the season now. These mistakes can't happen, especially against a team like City, who's battling to get back in the top four. We were in the top four before the match ended, and now we're on the outside looking in. So for me, I mean, we could talk about specifics about the match, but I think until we get a proper keeper, there's just no hope for us at this point. And it's so frustrating because we really are a team that could be in the top four. Even with how competitive the league is, I still think and fully believe that Chelsea could finish top four. But when I have to rely on a keeper like Sanchez, it's just tough knowing that. And the funny part is, Zion asked me during the match, you know, there was a point in the second half where it was 1-1 and we're over here trying to beat the press. And Zion was like, yo, aren't you worried about Sanchez? And I was like, you know what I'm worried about Sanchez? Not when we're trying to beat the press, because for whatever reason, with his feet, he's decent. It's when you don't expect him to make a mistake. You know, it's kind of like, oh, Nana, when you go to get a drink of your water and then you look and they're celebrating.
I hope the world can see now what's really going on out here. Yeah. It's getting ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
Nana Stray, that's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, no. You know, it's always, you know, some people got to get on my African, though. But at the end of the day, you know, Chelsea is too good for me at this point of the season to be making these type of mistakes. And on the flip side, when we need to go attack and we need to go score goals in order to equalize or in order to win, and we have someone who we're supposed to rely on who started off very well in the beginning of the season, Nicholas Jackson, we got to be critical of him too, because me and Mike have been hyping him up for how well he's been doing. But, you know, it's always, what have you done for me lately? You know, the 2024 stats were great, but it's 2025. And we're starting to see remnants of what, you know, of the last season, of you getting 3, 4, 5 chances in the box and you squandering them, of you being offsides too many times, of you not being able to make simple combination link plays with the other attackers in the attacking third. And when those things start to happen, you start to get worried, because for us, we shouldn't have to go look and try to go buy players. We have enough players, bro. I'm tired of just trying to go buy our issues. We have the players. We have the ability to go and convert in some of these matches. So for me, it's just, what do we have to do to tighten up? What does Cole Palmer have to do to start to take over these matches? What does Sancho have to do to start being more direct? You know, what does Nani have to do to, like what Maresca said, when you get that first goal, go get the second, go get the third. Stop playing like, you know, I score my goal, I can flex a little bit. No, go get that second, go get that third. And for me, it's frustrating because I know how good we are, but we're leaking goals in the back. And then up front, we aren't taking our chances and converting. So now it's like we've regressed. What the whole 2024, you know, we got to top four for what now? Because we're starting to peel back the layers of regress. So it's frustrating. You know, for me, I look at a match like that against City. I said I thought it would be 2-2, and it easily could have been a 2-2 match. It could have gone 3-2. It could have gone 2-1. It was one of those matches that could have gone either way. But those fine margins, those fine errors, like those moments in the match that can go right or left went left for us. And so for me, it's just tough to watch a match like that because we didn't deserve to win, but there were chances that I think that we should have taken advantage of and we didn't. And, you know, when you have Robert Sanchez making mistakes like that in the bag, it's pretty tough to beat a team like City.
Yeah. I think you did a great analysis on, you know, the game. You've made most of the points I was going to make. I just have 2 points to make, man. And I'm trying to give some context here. My 2 points is this game did not matter after 2-1. And Nicholas Jackson. My first point, what do I mean by this game did not matter after 2-1? We go to a team like City. We go to like a team like we go to a stadium like the Etihad. Up 1-0, okay, whatever. And even that goal, the first goal City got, you could say it was a mistake. I mean, that was a poor attempt of doing anything for Sanchez to begin with. But I'll let you pass because those things happen. I'm not expecting you to be perfect, you know. There was a challenge. The first goal. I didn't think it was a very good attempt to do anything there.
Hold on. You Vardiol's goal?
Yes. Go back and watch. What did Sanchez do? He didn't. It wasn't a very good attempt. It wasn't a very good attempt as a keeper to stop anything. It was Cucurella trying to stop it,
bro.
And it just bounced off of him and went.
As a keeper, when you're like, making a save, you either parry the ball out or away. You don't parry the ball.
He literally just stepped up like a body. That's all he did. It was a poor attempt.
Because you know everyone's looking to follow up. Sorry to cut you off, Mike, but you know people are looking to follow up the shot. So why would you parry it into the attacker's stride? Like as a keeper, that's keeping one-on-one away from the goal. Just away from the goal.
I'm not excusing that. I'm just saying, and because I've always said, because someone else makes a mistake doesn't mean that you can make a mistake or you can not execute. What about Nani not tracking back, following his man? Like, this is repetitively, like, this has happened.
Salam, I agree.
Like,
We can nitpick a lot of these things. Nani should have been back, yes. But in the instance where Nani's not back and you have to make a save, make the save and parry the ball away from the goal. Just clear it away, bro.
Nani's never back. That's a problem.
The point for me here is there are many things I can pick with Sanchez that I just don't think he does very well. Be this number one, this solid. Oh, we're not doing anything. He's our number one. You, Maresca, as a manager, came out Friday in your press conference and called out like three guys talking about, oh, they make mistakes. What is wrong with Sanchez making mistakes? I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a professional soccer football player. A striker making a mistake is not the same as a keeper making a mistake. Let's get that very clear. It's not the same. Making a mistake in the box is not making a mistake. It's not the same like making a mistake on the sideline or outside the box or whatever. It's not. Let's keep it 100% like real. It is not the same. Anybody who thinks it's the same, it's fucking delusional. I'm sorry. Excuse my language.
You're saying a mistake in the box.
A mistake made by a keeper is not the same. It's not the same type of mistake made by a striker. You can't weigh these things the same. You just cannot.
Usually, their mistakes usually lead to goals.
Exactly. You're the last man. You're the last option to stop anything from going into the net. So if you make a mistake, it is more detrimental to the team than a striker maybe going wide. You know, these things happen. It happens. But as a keeper, we can't excuse this. You know, once in a while it happens, we'll let it go. So far in the season, you've done this 5 times. I was telling you guys on this pod that you watch some of his mistakes and you're like, bro, are you doing this on purpose? Like, what is your thought process in the decision you're making? Okay, I understand when he stepped up in the beginning, you know, right after the ball went over Chalobah and Haaland. I understand the idea of stepping up. But right when Chalobah covers, bro, if you look at the replay, it's a 2-on-5. Yes, Chalobah slips, but Cucurella was right there. Go back to the box. Yeah, go back to your... I was so
surprised. He was just
I'm
out.
Like, why are you just standing there? This is my opinion. After that ball goes in, I told Sierra that we're not coming back because this it's a mental thing.
It's demoralizing.
Yeah, bro.
They all know these guys are professional players. They know the city. Yeah, they're having a bad team. They know that team is still better than us. They know that. You can't be a professional and just think, oh, this city team, oh, this is because they're playing bad this season. They're a bad team. This is the same guys, really, that just won the championship last season. These guys know these guys are good. So if you go there and make a mistake like that, you're telling me with this young team that don't have years together of grinding, oh, all of a sudden they're going to grind some shit out at the Etihad. It's not happening. It is literally not happening. So anybody that sits there and tells me, oh, the Sanchez mistake, whatever. No. At that point of the game, everything changes. When that mistake is made, guys are hanging their head. Now it's like, oh, we were up 1-0. Now we're 2. Bro, if you've played football before, you know your opponent is better than you. You go make a mistake like that at their house. You're not winning that game. You might as well just get whatever results you're going to get out of the game. Even the third goal, which was just a horrible defending by Chalobah. They just weren't paying attention, whatever. I don't even look at that. After that second goal happened, I'm looking at Maresca like, you went out and did this press conference and called out all these guys. Look at how are you gonna forgive this? How are you gonna come out back and say that, oh, we're gonna stick with him? Like, what are you telling the other guy? Oh, it's okay, I'll give you as many. I get it. He's pushing this. We're ahead of schedule, guys. Relax, you know, that we're not supposed to be here. We're competing with teams that have been doing this for 5 years. I get it, whatever. Like, I sat here on this pod match week 8 or 9. I said, if we keep winning like this match week 20, I would declare we're winning the league. Because I knew it wasn't realistic to think we were going to keep doing this over and over. No, it wasn't going to happen. I was waiting for that dip to happen. Did we think it was, you know, we were going to keep dipping?
Nah, but Mike's right.
No, Mike's but right. It's like, bro, we're getting to a point where it's just like the Jackson thing. For me, the Jackson thing, I'm a little softer on Jackson because I get it. This guy is playing. This is like his 40-year senior football. I get it. Like, you're playing for a big club. The pressure's there. I get it. But some of these things, you can't be repeating. You can't be repeating, like, same mistakes. This is a point where you bench Jackson to show him that, hey, in this level of football, when you're not doing well, somebody is there to take your spot. I think we're at the point where you just need to get somebody in to challenge him. Sit him down, let him feel the pressure of, hey, gotta perform, or, you know, I'm gonna lose my spot.
Is Petrovic not good enough to challenge? Who's the second keeper? Is it Petrovic
from Iceland? What's his name? Jorgensen. I think he's good enough to challenge him. I don't know what it is, bro. Kepa was not this bad.
Kepa
has like four mistakes his whole career. His shot stopping was his thing. Kepa's shot stopping was a thing. He was Kepa not that. He was not
Golazo machine. Golazo.
Wasn't Sanchez bad.
He wasn't. His mistakes weren't this glaring. Like, I go back to the second goal by Haaland, and like,
the decision making is just like,
bro, I just like, yeah, it's just a mistake that you don't even expect a professional to make. Yeah. It's like, it's such an unprofessional decision. We look at it like, mm-hmm. all of us are kind of confused. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, I get your initial coming out.
I get the initial first, maybe 5 steps when the ball is played. Exactly. But as soon as you know Chalobah is there, like, just that's go when back. You retreat.
Yeah.
So for him to keep coming out, and then on top of that, stand on top on the corner of his box, like, waiting while Chalobah's defending, like, I don't understand what you're doing. Like, man, that's such an unprofessional. Like, I'm not even making that mistake, and I'm not a keeper. Like, I understand that I need to retreat back to my goal because I can just be chipped at any moment, which eventually he ended up getting chipped. But yeah, I really think, you know, that game, that goal killed the game. I think once that goal happened, it's demoralizing for a team. And
but yeah, for a young team like us, a goal like that, a moment, a mistake like that, it's just like I can count comeback wins we've had recently on my one hand. We don't have a lot of those wins for me to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna dig it out at the Etihad. It's unrealistic to even think that. Like when that happened, I'm like, this is game. This is game. Let's just pack it up. Let's just try not to embarrass ourselves. So that's I was expecting from them after that.
I was reading this on Twitter. Yasser actually brought this up as well too. So how do you guys, what are your guys' thoughts on this? Cole Palmer doesn't show up in the big games. I think he had one goal against United, the game that you guys came back on us and won the game 4-3. I think that was what, last season.
Mm-hmm.
But what are your thoughts on that? Because
look. So I think both me and Mike can say last year was an anomaly. I don't think either of us expected the numbers that he was going to put up to sustain the whole year. Like, I think when he was able to do it the whole year, we were both pretty shocked. And at the end of the day, he is the best player on our team, and teams know that now. There's no more surprise who the game goes through. And as good as we think we are, we still have to compete with these guys. When there are teams who can put two or three on Cole Palmer and then still the rest of the 11 are solid and can, you know, operate by themselves independently, we have to go get other players to go win us games. Like that's evident, bro. We need to have the Nani Madwekes and the Jadon Sanchos and, you know, who else, whoever. We need the Nico Jacksons. We need them to score, because at the end of the day, teams know if we can shut down Cole Palmer, the rest of their guys won't have the same juice they have. That's just the end of that. That's just the truth at the end of the day. So, yeah, it is something that I guess is a knock on his jacket. But at the end of the day, like Mike said, we're a young team. And when teams can get in our head and rattle us and get it and make sure our best player is non-existent, or so to speak, then it's going to be a very, very tough day for us. But that's what I'm saying. This is when we need Nico Jackson to step up. Bro, you had chances to score. It's not like he didn't have chances to score. He had opportunities. You know, this is when we need you to rise above. This is Jadon Sancho. This is when I need you to be a little bit more direct. Nani Madueke, this is when I need you to go get your second. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like and this is what I'm saying. This is when I know we're young, but I do start to expect more from a team when we're in these sort of positions. And it's okay. We're going to grow up, but this is a learning moment. You know, this is a big learning moment.
You know what when I see those things, it's just funny to me, because the guys asking these questions about Cole Palmer in the top six games, and these are the same guys that will tell you, oh, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do that, he's not good enough. Like, these are the same guys. It's like, these are the same guys that don't think we're a top four team, but want us to perform like a top four team. These are the same guys that was like, oh, you're in a title race, but we're telling them, hey, we're not there yet. But these are the same people. I just don't engage. I'm like, you're judging me based on like 1 year of what we've done. 1 year of work. Oh, I'm supposed to do all these things, right? I'm supposed to do all these things. But you still don't think I'm good enough, though. You still don't think I'm a good team. You still don't think I'm a good player. But you're expecting these things from me. Like, the Cole Palmer thing is just funny to me. If I have to come here and tell you, oh, he hasn't done this yet. Bro, go look at he scored against United two times. Is it two times? No, he scored against them. Twice he's played them. Last year, he scored twice against them. What is it? Are we not counting that? Like, what is that? Is that I don't know. Tottenham game. He scored against them. He's had an assist. Oh, we're not counting that? Or what? Tottenham's not a top team now? He scored against City last year.
Tottenham is 15th. Tottenham is 15th. No, they're not a top team. Stop.
Okay.
United is 13th. No, they're not a top team.
Did he score against City last season?
They did.
Okay. So what is this? Cole Palmer with the top, against top teams. It's like bullshit to me. I don't engage in that. You guys are the same guys telling me he's not good enough. Oh, he's not going to repeat what he did last season. Oh, but you want him to do this and perform in certain positions. Or you get to just pick and choose.
Yes. Yes, we want him to play big and big
so
games.
Big players
play big and big games, no?
Where was you guys' his boys in the Euros when they needed to step up? Who stepped up? It's Cole Palmer. Why are we questioning what this guy can do? He's already shown enough for you to even question what he can do. He scored twice against United. He scored twice against City. What do you want against him? Like, he scored against big teams. What do you want? United, he scored in big moments. This is the second year of this guy.
Okay. So consistently.
All of a sudden, he has to just what? Yeah, he has to fill some quota because this guy says, "Oh, he hasn't scored in a couple of games." No, I don't listen to that.
He doesn't just.
If he's been starting for 6, 4, 5 years, and you're asking me these questions, then I'm like, after 1 year, and you are telling me he's not even good enough, and all of a sudden he has to answer to these things. No, I'm not trying to hear that.
Just not score. He doesn't play well. That's the 14
goals in the Prem.
I don't know what you want. Big matchups. He
doesn't. Okay. So Gabriel brought up a good point because originally it was a conversation. Because originally it was a conversation about the Big Six, but we've abolished the Big Six because we can agree that Tottenham never deserved to be there and United is trash. So who are the big teams? We're looking at Liverpool, we're looking at Arsenal, we're looking at who? City? Are those the big teams we're talking about? Because if we're only going to judge those as the big teams, then sure, he hasn't shown up. But against every other team. Every other team in the league, he has. So if we're only considering Arsenal, City, and United, then there is a conversation to be had that's separate. But when we're looking at the big teams in the league, we're looking at Bournemouth or Fulham or Newcastle or Nottingham Forest or Brighton or any other team that's been in the top six this year. Because like we said, Cole Palmer has been on Chelsea for a year and a half. Last year, he scored against everybody. So I don't know what you want us to say. Last year, he scored against everybody. This year, he hasn't scored against everybody. And the only three teams he hasn't really done anything against are Arsenal, City, and Liverpool. So for me, I don't know where the conversation is. If those are the games that we're talking about, sure. And we can repeat to what I said about 5 to 10 minutes ago. Those teams have enough good players to figure out how to shut him down and say, look, Cole's not going to beat us today. We need the rest of you guys to beat us. And as a team, we haven't figured that out yet. So if the Twitter fingers want to say Cole Palmer doesn't show up in big games, show me a player in the Big Six or show me a player in the top four that has scored besides Mo Salah and Bukayo Saka. Because everybody else besides Isak this year, we can say the same for them. And that's just me backing up my guy. Hey. And if we want to talk about Newcastle, Cole Palmer scored and assisted against them. They're another big team. So I don't know where that argument is. People, again, like Mike said, are just going to start to say something because we're having a little bit of a slump.
Yeah.
As we should as a second-year team, first year under Enzo Maresca. This Cole Palmer doesn't show up in big games is funny because this is the second year.
Exactly. It's like this weakest argument to just grab him, They don't have anything.
It's a superstar factor. Once you got all the eyes on you, everything's scrutinized. So I get it. If that's the angle people want to take, I'm not mad at it.
Oh, he hasn't scored against top six. It's the big argument.
There's no more top six, man.
Come on, man. With your eyes, you think that's the issue?
For me, that's not a thing. I was just,
these top teams have been together 3-4 years. This one-year-old team is supposed to challenge with these teams, guys. You guys didn't think we're a top four team. This is what blows my mind. You all didn't even have us in your top four.
Yeah.
So what is this weird, I'm the only one that thought we were top 14. No, I'm not. It's just this weird thing. Title contenders. Oh, now you're not. You were never a title contender. But you wanted us to say we were title contenders. Even though we're telling you, bro, we're not even there yet. We just won our 3 points. Y'all didn't want to hear that.
Can we agree on this?
It's so funny to me.
And this is my point. I was just asking you that because Yasser asked the question. I don't think you answered.
I thought the fact that I have to answer that to you, bro. You've seen with your eyes what this guy does. I have to answer that to you. Come on.
There are a few question marks, I feel like, on this team. I think going into this season, I know you guys said defensively that was going to be an issue. Reece James is back. You know, you brought back Chalaba, so you know those two coming back were, you know, going to help improve the team. But I think that there's, you know, I don't even look at Cole Palmer because I feel like he's everything for you guys. But when Jackson came off, I was like, we need to see more from the supporting cast. And by the supporting cast, I'm talking about guys like Sancho. I'm talking about guys like Neto when he came on. I mean, Nani scored, but, you know, it is what it is there. I think the Enzo start.
I didn't see much.
I think we got to see. They said Caicedo had a bad game. I wouldn't even think necessarily he had a bad game. I wouldn't say he had a good game, but I don't think he was a problem. I just feel like the supporting cast for you guys, that's the question mark.
No Nkunku shots? Left him off?
Nah, bro. I don't even feel like he's been like
play consistently I don't understand.
Oh, hey, you just said supporting Mike. Why are you so touchy today, man? Yeah.
No, because some of you guys' argument is just so like so low hanging. It's like give me something.
The supporting
cast, I'm not talking about you guys specifically, but it's just like the thought. It's like, bro, Nkunku barely plays 30 minutes in the prep a game. And you're sitting here trying to bang.
Yeah, but he still came on and did nothing. Absolutely nothing.
What did you expect him to do at that point of the game?
Impact the game in some type of form or fashion. What do you mean how?
He needed to go in the goal. Let's move on from Chelsea, man. It's just
we've spoken enough and like I mean nothing left. Yeah, nah, we got a lot more left. I wouldn't even do all that, but nah, to end it there, I think yeah, I think the whole Cole Palmer, you know, everybody was talking about how he and Pep were talking at the end of the game and how Pep was whispering sweet nothings and how he was smiling and laughing.
He was telling him, he was like, this is why we're able to shut you down. Because you do everything for this team.
Yes, correct. I mean that is the end all be all at the end of the day. But to end it on Chelsea, like Mike said, we are ahead of schedule, but personally, and I think Mike can attest to this as well, that doesn't mean we should take our foot off the gas and be okay with these subpar performances and these lackluster matches. So for me, I think that we shouldn't, you know, we should take where we are and just keep building and keep building and keep building. And we're in a decent spot. And this is a competitive league, but I believe we can finish top four, and it's just going to be one of those seasons where we have to take the good with the bad. We just have to. So, you know, a team that's been taking a lot of good with the bad recently has been Arsenal. You know, red cards, injuries. It seems like all the bad that they go through, they're still somehow able to finish the job. Still in second place, even with Nottingham Forest lurking. You know, they took a big loss this week, so in second place by themselves. Still hunting Liverpool in first place. Arsenal with a huge 1-0 dub this weekend. But I said it, man. Wolves just didn't look right. You know, from the jump, they just looked like a team that didn't want to win. They were losing the possession a lot in their defensive third. Even when they went up a man, they still were just losing the ball and asking to get scored on, in my opinion. It wasn't until Calafiori came on and scored an actual very, very, very crazy goal with the left. But yeah, Gabriel, you know, talk about the red card, talk about the match. You know, luckily you guys got the win, so you don't have to harp on the red card as much. But I feel like this is another one where you guys will be speaking about it for weeks to come. But on a more positive note, how do you feel about this team moving into the next month of February? And any news on Saka? Do we know when he will potentially be back?
I'll answer the quick one. Saka's not coming back till like April, bro. So we can just rule that out for time. April? He's out for 3 months, bro. He's not coming back for time. So we're not even going to rush him back either. So I wouldn't expect him. We'll talk after April Fools. We'll see. I'm not thinking about him, but that's just out of my head for right now. honestly, you said I'm not going to harp on the red card. I'm going to talk about that for the majority of what I need to say. But I do want to give the boys a lot of credit because, I mean, it's just unfortunate, you know, the situation that we're put in. But this is what – these are games that you have to win if you want to try to win a title. And last week we weren't able to do that given the circumstances of going up 2-0 when we dropped points. And it was good to see us go down a man and fight the adversity away from home, especially too. And actually, was it away from? I think it was home. I was away from home. Yeah. So it was especially away from home, you know, go and get 3 points down a man. So I really just commend you know our team. I really do want to say that I can't speak highly enough on this guy, but Yurian Timber, bro. He was my man of the match this past week. I mean, he's just putting out 8 out of 10s pretty much every week. Can't speak highly enough about the guy. And Calafiori, you know, great job coming in and, you know, getting that fantastic goal off the volley. You know, you really couldn't have placed it any better. Went between 5 guys. So, you know, great finish. But my whole gripe, and I will continue to preach this, is going to be this red card. In no way, form, shape, or fashion, in any level of football, I don't care if it's rec league, Sunday league, I don't care if it's co-ed, I don't care where this foul occurs, I don't care if it's in the final third, I don't care if it's in the middle of the pitch, I don't care if it's on the opponent's defending third. I do not care. That is never a red card.
Is it a yellow though?
It's an absolutely. Okay. Ten times out of ten, okay. Yes, straight yellow, absolutely.
Okay.
But when I saw Michael Oliver reach for his back pocket, I was dumbfounded.
Yeah, I was surprised. I
couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, is he really about to give him red? Is there something I'm missing? Did he hit him on the knee? Like, and the commentator's just feeding into it. Oh, yeah, it's high on the ankle. What? High? This is the same Michael Oliver ref that gave Martinelli a red, 2 yellow cards for against City for a red. This is the same Michael Oliver that against Manchester City, Kokovic had a terrible tackle on Odegaard. Studs up on his Achilles, and he said he didn't want to ruin the, on a yellow, by the way, as well.
No foul. Yeah,
he said, I didn't want to ruin the game, so I didn't give him a red.
Get on your bike.
This is the same Michael Oliver that didn't give an. This is the same guy who, time after time, this is one of the only refs who will give Arsenal red cards. One of the only refs that will give red cards, especially Arsenal. That we'll never see that red card ever again. You'll never see this foul in any other professional match and in this situation and see it be called a red. You'll see this foul literally this week. You saw this foul in the Manchester United match today. You saw this exact same foul. Was it a red? Was it even a yellow? No. In this situation, they're going to go counterattack. Yes, to me, it's 100% a yellow. He got him on the ankle. It was a trip for sure, but to try and ruin a match like this, and I'm so happy that I think it's Rabiot. I think either Rabiot, yeah. one of the Robbies on the broadcast said absolutely this is one of the worst decisions I've ever seen, and I'm glad that someone sees it because I can't even fathom how this is a red card. And my head was gone. Honestly, my head was gone because I'm sitting there dumbfounded. Like, in what universe is this ever a red card? What universe, bro? There's 2-3 players defending the goal. Yes, they're gonna go counterattack, but there's 2-3 players back for us.
You guys were in their half too, though.
We're on top of their box.
They were just outside the 18, guy.
A corner just happened. It's not studs up. It's not like he went studs up. He went with a trip. Mm-hmm. In no universe is this a red card. And this is time and time. There needs to be an investigation, like how there was for David Coote
with the Liverpool team. There needs to be an investigation on Michael Oliver in Arsenal, bro. Because this is so many times now that the red cards that should be given against us or the fouls that should be given for us aren't. And then there's countless red cards on our end for egregious things. So shout out to the boys. I'm very happy with, you know, the performance and us being able to fight the adversity. But this needs to be there needs to be and shame on VAR too. Honestly, shame on VAR for agreeing with him. Not even telling him to go check or go look. Oh, we agree that it's high on the ankle. What, we see this foul in the middle of the pitch. How many matches, bro? Every week we see this same worst fouls, bro. In the middle of the pitch, yellow's given, play on's given, no fouls given, and this is considered a red.
No, but you know what's crazy though?
And if and one more thing, like if this isn't overturned. I really don't know. This red card needs to be overturned.
Yeah, they'll probably reduce it.
Yeah. He name dropped. He name dropped Bruno's situation when they reversed his. So I think that they definitely. That's like he's definitely putting pressure on them. Like
This absolutely has to be reversed, and Michael Oliver needs to be looked into. Honestly, there needs to be an investigation. This is
like
every time he refs a big match, bro, it is
Tim
bad.
Donaghy.
Yeah, honestly, it's bad.
Yeah.
But overall, I'm happy with our performance. I'm happy with how we're able to come up with 3 points. This was desperate for our title race push, and unfortunately, you know, we might have a player out for 3 matches. He might only be out for that one match. We'll see, but I'm happy with how we play. Though my only negative thing I can really say is that once again I'll continue to scream this from the mountaintops. We need a striker. I don't care who it is. I saw Kai Havertz miss 3 open headers.
Yeah,
on their 6. I saw him shoot left and right, everywhere but on frame.
Yeah,
I desperately need a strike. I don't even. They're talking about this 18-year-old kid from. I don't even know. I forgot where he's even from. Naipan or something like that.
Oh,
I don't care.
This ain't time for that.
I'm at the point now, bro. I don't care who it is. If I have to see Kai Havertz continuously miss headers, cutbacks, so many things, I can't do it anymore.
I don't get it with y'all, man. Y'all, it's so easy. Just get the striker. you're right there. You're literally right there.
You
have everything.
I don't know what the hold of it. It's we're looking for the right guy to match the bro. Just put the money down.
Just get somebody that knows how to put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, not that hard, bro. We all watch football in all different leagues, bro. You guys have scouts to go and watch football. It does not take a year to figure out this is the striker that we need.
It's crazy,
my guy. Just go put the bread down. Make an offer that you cannot refuse to a club for a top striker, and that's it. And then you'll get the money back by winning titles, by winning Champions League, by winning.
It's an investment.
That money will come back on the back end. But put the bread down. I'm tired of it.
So long.
You should have got Marmoush. On the league, had you got Marmoush? I swear.
Yeah, and Salam, I was thinking about you when we did our little segment. Is John Duran better than this striker? I'm thinking if Arsenal had John Duran right now,
bro.
I mean, it's really not that. It's not rocket science, bro. Go get somebody that knows how to put it in the back of the net.
You put the money down for Declan. You're in the position. You have to do the same with a striker.
I think if you want to at this point, I don't know if I said this last pod, but I was thinking about this a lot. Actually, I feel like every 2 years there needs to be $100 million. If you're a top team, there needs to be a transfer probably close to $100 million that you need to make to stay competitive.
The big one,
stay a top club. You have to make one. And we're again. We did Declan Rice a year ago. We had other smaller signings than the third. Cool. Now again, we're at a point where if we want to go to that next level, if we want to be a championship winning team, we need to go splash another $100 million on a striker. I honestly don't even care about splashing $100 million. We need a striker. We need someone who can score.
Somebody.
Someone who can score goals.
And I'm tired of we're trying to find the right person. Bro, if you don't go, there's a short list of names. Go grab, I don't even care who it is. Go grab one who's a proven goal scorer and put the bread down. That's it. That's it for me. Outside of that, good substitutions. Way to get 3 points. We move. We get out of Wolves and we move.
Yeah, that's a good place to end it. That's definitely a good place to end it for Arsenal. And last but not least, a team that has been struggling, but you know, definitely on the bounce. Shout out MLM.
Two wins in a row, you know.
Look at them. Look,
they're back.
Look at my boy glowing. My boy over there glowing. Haven't seen Saeed say nothing in a minute. You feel me? Alhamdulillah. but United, I think, with a very important win. You know, a win on the road is even more important. And just like in that Wolves game, you know, with Arsenal, you know, I was looking at this Fulham team like, this Fulham team is not serious. I think United could go and grab a win here. As bad as you guys are, I was looking at your team and I'm like, if you guys make a few substitutions, I think you can go and get a win here. And the goal didn't come from, you know, who I don't think any of us expected, but shout out to Licha Martinez. He's been balling. You know, he didn't start the last match. This match he started, he had to go get that goal. He said, Lenny Yoro, I'm big bro here. You know, either you got some boots to fill. But Salam, just overall thoughts from the match, overall thoughts from Martinez specifically, and how he's been able to bounce back since he had a rough, you know, he's had a rough year. You know, he's got dunked on a few times. You know, you always know he's a little brittle, but he's starting to rise above all of that, and it seems that Amorim has a little bit of, you know, belief in him on that left side.
Yeah, man. I mean, as far as it goes with him, I think that he had a good game defensively today. I think obviously the goal was a deflection, but yeah, I mean, shout out to him. I think that he's been all right. He's not really an issue for us, I believe. As far as the game, like you said, Cornelius, it seemed as if Fulham was just not, I don't know, maybe they had a bad day. I was questioning the first 20 minutes because, you know, usually that's kind of, I usually kind of get an idea of what type of game it's going to be between, you know, the 15th and the 20th minute when I watch United. So for the most part, I felt like it was pretty even. So, yeah, I don't think this was Fulham at their best. I don't want to take anything from us, but we capitalized on a day where they probably weren't at their best. And I mean, the game, man, is just—it's the same game, man. We don't create chances. I understand he has to play some of the players that he has to play just based off of the personnel that he has. But time and time again, I think a few guys are just showing you that they just can't get the job done. And the only way to get them out, honestly, is just by playing them, just to see if people can buy them. Because guys like Rasmus Højlund, like, I don't know, man. I think he's a good option to have maybe off the bench. Maybe if we're chasing a game and we need a goal, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, bro, I think Xerxes, head and shoulders better than him.
Rasmus is terrible.
Yeah, man. Think about that. We're getting this celebration from your center back. You know what I'm saying? We haven't even seen Rasmus' celebration since, I don't know, when the last time he scored.
Was it the Rockstar? It's also whack.
Yeah. But no, bro, it's not even just him. It's just to kind of just wrap up the game, because I just want to kind of stray away from the game. I think it was a great win. Obviously, yes, we needed the 3 points. It's a big confidence boost to get a win away from home against what has been a good team in the Premier League this season. So shout out to them. Most definitely, Ahmed was so close to making that game 2-0 and really killing that game. But VAR, I guess, wasn't on our side today. I want to get I just want to talk on this, though. And I started to say this last week, but I think that it's absolutely crazy that we're sitting here January 26th and we haven't made any signings. When you look at these guys who have came in, this Ineos group, they said that we're going to take care of all the things on the footballing side. And listen, I know I don't – from what I guess read and what the information we're all privy to, I understand we're probably not in the best financial situation because of a lot of the poor decisions that we've made in the past. But I think it's like, how are we not doing anything, though? You're talking about getting rid of this guy, and I understand, like, certain guys have to leave. Antony's on big wages. He has to go. Marcus Rashford, he's I'll get to him actually here in a second, but he, our biggest earner. You wonder why he's not on another team right now. It's because even if we were to split his wages in half, it's still 150 wages for the other club. That's probably on the top end of what some clubs are paying their highest earner. So I understand from a financial reason why he's on the team. Wages are too high. That's our fault. Casemiro, 300 plus K. We don't even see Casemiro. I follow him on IG. He gives us he puts us on our story. He does for us. But like you're not playing, bro. That's 300 plus K. We can't do anything with you. It's absolutely crazy, man. And I don't know, man. I think this manager has the reason why I really fuck with this guy. Sorry. Is I feel like he's being very real on what the situation is. He's not hiding anything. He's sticking to his plan because obviously we thought he was doing a good job at Sporting. That's why we wanted to get him. So he came in with his ideas. He brought in his coaches. So like we're going to play his way. Why can't we back this guy in the transfer window to get what he needs? Mazzarri is not a right wing back. He has to play there because we don't have anybody. Like Bruno is not a center midfielder. He has to play there. Like Kobbie Mainoo is not a six, but he plays where he plays. He's making it work with what he has. You obviously brought him in the middle of the season because you wanted him now, which at the time signaled to me that we had a plan. Looks like we don't because we're at the 26th of January and we're linked with this kid that's Danish that plays for Lecce. And it's like we're over here hassling with them, 40 million, 45 million. I don't even know this guy. No disrespect to him. He looks okay. He for the role that we're going to bring him in, I think he can play as a left wing back. But it's like, you know, we're over here talking about selling Garnacho to buy this 40 million. I don't know. I'm barely questioning what's going on. He actually came out and said after the interview, and I've noticed he's starting to really, I don't want to say crash out, but I feel like he's not used to like the media that the Premier League gets. Maybe just Man United get.
You get
tell like he's not used to this. Like this is too much.
It's a lot for him because he even had to reel it back. He was like, maybe what I said wasn't the right thing. This isn't the worst United team. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a level of media training that should come with specifically United because you cats are kind of
certain teams.
Teams, but United specifically because you guys are always the talk of the town. It doesn't matter what it is. United will always be the talk of the town. That it comes with the job, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And for you guys to be in this rut, you know, obviously it's a new management group and I'm not sure how Ineos handles everything, but it never seems like United has cohesion between manager and, you know, upper management. And so I feel like that internally has to be what Ineos strives to handle first, because Ruben's going to say what he's going to say. You know what I mean? He's the manager. He feels how he feels. We know that managers have their own opinions, but ultimately for it to work, I think everybody needs to be on the same page.
Yeah, no, you can obviously tell that like he's not, it's a lot to him, but after the game, you know, because they always ask him about Rashford, right? You know, the you know how these analysts.
That's what I'm saying. They, like, you don't want to talk about that.
So, but yeah, but he came out and said after the game, this is his quote. He said, "I would put Vital. Vital is our goalkeeping coach." He said, "I would put Vital on the bench before a player who doesn't give the maximum." And he was, and because they asked him about Rashford, and that was his response. So essentially saying, like, I would put my goalkeeping coach.
Wait, that was today?
That was after the game. That was after the game.
Oh, wow.
This is a real quote.
And hey, who media trained him?
Nah, bro, he doesn't. Bro, he's low, that's why he's like, he's from the streets. You know, like, he's not, bro, this ain't no media training shit. Like, that's why I really like he's telling you how it is. He's not sugarcoating anything. He's not blinded by, like, oh, I'm at Manchester United. You know, like, it's not like, everything is fine.
It's a job for him. He came in to do his job for him.
Yeah, he came in to do his job, and it's just kind of like, yo, like, forget the leaking roof. You know what I'm saying? Like, forget, like, all these other nonsense things. Like, when it comes to things on the pitch, right, which I feel like should be the main thing, things aren't right, and like, I'm gonna play this way, and like, they need to support him, and they haven't supported him.
Wasn't Rashford in training this week?
Yeah, he was smiling and shit, but like, again, it's media, no, bro. I don't think that there's no coming back with him. I don't think it shouldn't be. I know for a fact that there's definitely a scenario where the January transfer window passes and he's still on our team, 100%. And it's because of, quite frankly, he's on high wages. Think about it. Why is no one after Marcus Rashford? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that crazy to y'all? Like, isn't it crazy it's not like, forget the Arsenal like linked, or forget, you know, Chelsea linked, or links in the Premier League. Forget that. I'm talking about, like, even abroad, like just in Spain, Italy. There's no like, oh, can we get him? Can we get him? And it's like, that's so wild to me. Why is that? Part of it is because of the wages. But again,
it's the big part.
Yeah, but like, again, like, I feel like you have to support this manager by bringing in players, and quite frankly, somehow manufacturing a way where we can move on from some of these guys from now until the end of the season. Like, if we're going to play Casemiro to just be on the bench, like, that's a waste of money. He's making 300K a week. So is Rashford. Not even in the matchday squad. And then when you look at, like, okay, who's going to help us? Where are our top earners? Our top earners aren't even on the fucking field. And it's like, what are we doing? So, yeah. Ineos, for me, honestly, this honeymoon period for me is, like, it's over, man. The realest part of our team is our coach. I 100% believe that. He's the most authentic thing we have at our club. Everybody else, nah, bro. They said Luke Shaw's back. Like, what does that tell you? Like, no, man. It's these poor decisions, bro. And quite frankly, if Garnacho needs to go, I would say sell him.
I mean, he's our profit. That's why they're trying to get rid of him. I mean,
$65 million for him, I'd take it.
I was reading, well, you guys are in the hole, like, almost over $300 million.
Bro,
so it's like
$450 million in debt. We've paid since the Glazers have been here. The Glazers have been here, I think, since 05 or 06. We've paid $900 million in just debt interest. So the debt's not going to go anywhere, right? So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the money, like, that we're never – that's why people were so gung-ho about this Qatari opportunity. Like, wow, we could actually – wipe out this debt and really, you know, get this new stadium and kind of get back to where, at least, you know, for me growing up, how it was. But nah, man, shout out to Ruben Amorim, shout out to the guys for getting the 3 points. But Ineos have to do their job and start bringing some guys in from now. I mean, there's only, I guess, 4 or 5 days left in the January window, so hopefully we can bring in this, you know, Dorgu guy from Lecce. And then maybe if a player like Garnacho leaves, we can fund another move. But I don't know. Like, if we could bring in Nkuku, I would take Nkuku too. That's a player right there. That's like, you got to manufacture.
He would actually be good for y'all. No cap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we did a swap, honestly, I don't know how it would work financially. But like, if we could do a swap opportunity for Garnacho and him, I would do it. At least alone. Let's see how it works for both parties. If you want to move on, even though I think Nkuku would really help our team. Like, we need him. The center attacking mid, like, I don't know. But,
yeah. I think the summer will be a big summer for you guys. It'll be a big summer for you guys. Because I mean, like, some of the guy Casemiro's posted us on his story.
Yeah, Casemiro. Well, he's gone.
Guys like that gotta go. He's gone.
He's gone after this year.
Oh yeah.
This is his third year.
I think your stuff will happen in the summer. It's hard for me to see the January one.
So January is always tough to bring players in, but if you're in a desperate enough situation, you have to bring players in. This is the time to do it, and I feel like United's one of those teams where they needed to do it. I don't know if they will. I mean, it's hard to get multiple transfers done in the month, in the middle of the season, you know, all of that. But
City,
yeah,
City is City.
Yeah, City is City. I don't know what to say. But yeah, I think you guys will probably be one of the teams that has the most motion this summer. I feel like we're going to hear your team linked with everyone under the sun this summer. Because you guys do need a whole nother 11. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm already looking forward to it, man. That was a good one.
Place to end it. That's a good place to end it.
Yeah. How do we do on locks?
Oof.
Oh, my hit. I know my hit.
Mine did not. The only one that hit.
No way.
That's a Villa, bro. That scored on. How did you tie West Ham at home, bro? And you tie us away. Come on, man.
What was yours, Mike?
Brentford money line against Brentford that Crystal Palace. Yeah.
That was a good value. I thought that was a good value. Mine hit two though. Minus two, minus one.
Oh yeah, minus one. Yeah.
Newcastle.
Two for four, which is it's not bad.
You had the
Under.
They dug them out.
Yeah, Bournemouth. Bro, and the crazy part is the hat trick came out of nowhere, like 55, 61, 80. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, we got to touch on that a little bit.
I was surprised. Yeah. That was going to be my shout out. I was going to say shout out to Ouattara. He is the first African player from Burkina Faso to score a hat trick in the Premier League. That was actually gonna be my shout out. So early shout out to him. Yeah, man, Bournemouth back to back hat tricks. They're crazy right now, bro.
12 unbeaten in the Prem. I think.
Bro, isn't it crazy when I said our win at Bournemouth was one of my favorites? Yeah, bro, definitely. That's crazy. I'm looking at some of these teams they've beating, and I'm like, they went to Newcastle at Newcastle. That was on fire, and give them four.
Smoke them, nigga.
Four. Next week they give Forest five. Brought them right back down to earth.
Yeah, I mean they're
sitting level on points with Chelsea right now,
bro. You know, like, are they going to get a European spot though?
Bournemouth, I don't know, man.
Honestly, Mike, it's going to be us, Bournemouth, Newcastle, and Villa fighting.
Yeah,
I'm not going to hold you.
And Villa,
you can put Forest in there too, because I don't think they're going to hold on like that.
I think City will reclaim third place, and then it'll be us all fighting for four.
Damn, that's a tight race. I mean, shit, you might. Nah, Arsenal's pretty. I mean, I don't know. The gap between Arsenal and Nottingham Forest is 3 points, but the gap between Nottingham Forest and Man City is also 3 points. So, I don't know, man.
No, that fourth spot is going to be really coveted, bro.
You're going to have like five teams. Yeah.
Five legit teams fighting.
And also, don't let anybody in the Prem win the Champions League, because it'll get extended too. So.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It'll be a fifth spot. So there's a lot to fight for.
Absolutely.
Hey, we're creeping, though. I don't have to scroll down.
Yes, you do.
Where are you guys at now?
We're in 12th, Mike. Yo, I can now. You know what's funny is I can kind of see you like around the corner. I told you everything is around the corner, man. I can see you guys.
Oh man,
we're only 2 points behind Brentford.
Anybody else got any other shout outs?
Shout out Kluvert from Bournemouth. I don't want to give him a shout out. He's been quietly balling out of control this season.
Yes. Yes.
This another young killer, man. He hasn't gotten his flowers this much this season, but been pivotal for Bournemouth, and you know, not their title push, but at least for their push for. I mean, this point they're fighting for Europe. You know, whether it's I don't know if Bournemouth has ever had European football. I'm not sure, but you know, it'd be massive for them to get European football. For their club, whether it's conference, Europa, Champions, doesn't matter. I think it's major for them to, you know, be in any European competition. So, shout out to him. Shout out to that team. And they're 12 unbeaten. So,
wow.
I'm hoping they can get points off Liverpool next week. No lie.
Oh, that's a good game. I was going to shout out Liverpool. Oh yeah, Arsenal City too. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I feel like shout out to Salah. I mean, like Salah was saying, I'm surprised they haven't really given him, you know, anything yet. I low-key kind of feel like it's his last, you know, run in the Prem. So I'm just enjoying watching him move to what, seventh all time in the league?
Who knows?
Hey, man.
Just passed Thierry Henry.
Wow. Big step.
Witnessing history, man.
Yeah, I know. I feel like finally hit me this season for whatever reason. I'm starting to actually, you know, come around to it. Like, you know, he's legit. We're watching an all timer. So, got to give him his flowers before he's gone.
Yeah. Best African in the Prem talks are starting to get a little bit more real. Before, while he was doing it, you could say, all right, let's see. But now that, he's still doing what he's doing, it's kind of crazy.
Best African in the Prem?
Bro, 40 GAs already. Like, all time. Yeah. We're talking all time. You know, it used to be Drogba, but.
I mean, Yaya Toure, Drogba, Salah are my top three.
I mean, yeah, is he eclipsed Drogba?
Well, he doesn't have more Prem titles, but. I mean, when it comes to the golden boots, he's going to have more than Drogba.
He's a winger, too. He's not even a striker.
I know. So that's a very interesting conversation.
It's going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. My shout-out is going to be sorry.
No. What you're saying? Shout-out.
Another African striker, Alexander Isak. In 21 games, he has 17 goals and 5 assists. 22 GAs in 21 games. I think easily, you know, it's funny, in New York, I said Nicholas Jackson was the best striker in the league because Haaland wasn't really doing anything.
Yeah. But
I think this guy has definitely a case for him as being one of the top three, definitely. Could be, I don't know, this season I just feel like he's been the best. I don't know what Haaland has, how many goals he has.
He has one less. I think Salah has 19. Isak has 18, Haaland has 17, or it's something like that. I just looked at it. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Yeah. So Salah 19, Haaland 18, Isak 17.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's the top three. That sounds about right, even though Salah's not really a striker. But, yeah, shout out to him, man.
Yeah. Isak is for real, man. Isak is for real.
Salam, I think the one thing is he's just healthy this year. Last few years, he's had, an injury that take him out 6 weeks here, 4 weeks there, then another 3 weeks there. This is the first year where, you know, knock on wood, we've seen him ball the entire season.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where that next move is for him, because I don't think he stays at Newcastle.
Oh, no.
I think, come to Arsenal, man. Come on over.
I think this guy. Yeah, I think he would stay in England. He looks very settled in.
Oh yeah, yeah. He has the British accent already.
Yeah, I was gonna say when you hear him talk, he sounds like he's very comfortable there. So yeah, shout out to him, man. Crash out of the league is for good. No, I was gonna say Robert Sanchez, RS.
Oh yes.
Yes. He said, "This is my chance." I was like, "Yo, why are you?"
I'm like, "Go back, go back. Why are you standing there?"
He said his controller died. Yeah,
and you know what hurts so bad? I don't know why, but anytime we get scored on, Sierra just thinks it's funny. Why are you laughing? Why do you think it's funny? He's seeing what he's doing, and it just makes it worse because he just thinks it's funny. And I'm like, it's like, you'll be laughing. And then I'm sitting here watching. I'm like,
I'll be actually upset. Week, like,
yeah, with this guy, it's every week. I'm tired of. I can't defend Sanchez, bro. You can't keep defending that. But anyways, definitely crash out of the week for me.
Yeah, all right, who do y'all see next in the Prem predictions? I'll go first. No, I was just gonna say we see West Ham at home. We have like a full week. We don't play until Monday, so come on, boys, just get the dub, just get the win. I'm saying 2-1. We'll get scored on. I'll say Cole Palmer and Nico Jackson. I think he ends a drop against West Ham.
I hope. I'll say 3-0. Grand Potter comes back to the bridge. I think we should send him packing like we did last season. So two seasons ago. So 3-0 is my prediction against West Ham.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up this what this team is. But
oh yeah, the FC. What is
yeah? It just says FCSB.
It sounds like a graded team on FIFA.
I think Football Club Steaua Bucuresti.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, you guys have Europa?
Europa League on Thursday, man. We're going to be heading down to Romania. Heading over to Romania.
Head on down.
FCSB away from home. But no, I think we're fourth right now in the Europa League standings. I think a point, you know, would probably do us very well.
Yeah, you guys have been doing well.
Actually, yeah, it looks like we need to win. A win would be ideal. I still think we could advance with a draw, but I think, like I said, man, I think Europa League is our best shot of success. I think we can definitely, against these lower teams, I think we have enough to beat them. In spite of all of our problems, I still think we just have enough to beat these teams. So if we're able to find success, you know, in these knockout rounds, who knows, man? I'm seeing teams like Lazio, Frankfurt, Athletic Club, Tottenham, Lyon. I think we have a good shot against all of them, but 3 points away from home. And then on Sunday, we play Crystal Palace at home. I actually think that this game should be good to us. We're at home. We have our home support. Crystal Palace, what, tough loss today. I feel like they've been up and down all season, but we should be able to get 3 points there. So should be maximum points, but you know us. I think that we drop points somewhere.
Fair enough. We see Girona in Champions League on Wednesday.
Damn.
That's a new game.
It'll be a good match. Honestly, I don't even care about winning. I just want us to be in the automatic. I want to be in that playoff. So
top eight.
Top eight. So honestly, a draw will pretty much like secure our spot in the top eight. Even if we do lose, all the teams that are on 13 points, our goal differential is pretty good, so they'd have to score a significant amount of goals, or we have to lose by a lot and they have to score a lot for us to drop out of that top eight. But honestly, go over there, you know, get a draw. I mean, I would love to get 3 points, but you know, get a result over there. And then we got a massive one this weekend, man. City v Arsenal on Sunday. Yeah, this is a big one. I'm not even going to lie. This is a big match. Because City have a new signing. He looks like he's ready to run.
Can we address that? I don't want to cut you off, but can we address that? I would like to have an apology. Because you said I was glazing. Now, listen, you may not agree that he is world class. to say I was glazing, you could clearly see that there was a thought process there. What did you think of Marmoush?
Okay.
He looked very, very lively when he came, when he's his first performance. I can see there's a player there. He passes the eye test 100%. Okay, so I still think, no, you're glazing to say world class.
No, I wasn't.
To say world class. I mean, I can see your thought process and you being excited that, oh, he's going to City, he's going to flourish. Like, yeah, no, honestly, he probably will flourish at City and he probably will hit the ground running because he looked on it yesterday. And that's also just a player in form. But, you know, yeah, going back, I honestly don't know. I think this would be a much higher scoring game than people think.
Where's the game? Emirates, right?
Got the Emirates. I really feel like it'll be like, I think it'll be, honestly, I hate to say this, but I think it'll be 2-2 draw. I don't think we're gonna win. I don't know if we'll win. If I'm being, because for me it's just because I don't know if we'll like actually. Kai Havertz isn't going to get it done. So it's like, where are goals really going to come from? I think we can like get two goals for sure, but I think it's just going to – Havertz is just going to – he'll be the person where he should score. He won't, and that's why we don't, you know, get max points. But, yeah, I think it'll be a 2-2 draw.
Honestly. Hey, I'm just going to give you my lock of the week.
I was about to say, let me give you my lock of the week right now before you go, Mike. I'm sorry. Omar Marmoush, please don't even text me, bro. Don't even text me. This is it right here.
I'm dead.
That's exactly where I was going, bro. This dude had me breathing all game. Like every 5 seconds, I'm looking
at you. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Where's this guy? Next week,
bro. And the crazy part is, I didn't want to. I'm glad we got all the way here because I didn't want to speak on it for real. The crazy part is, bro, this guy looks like he's been with the club all year. It looks like he hit the club like, yo, what's up, bros? What's up? Like, hey, how you doing? Just his attitude and the way he was on pitch, just looking at everybody like, yeah. Oh, no, we gonna get it together.
Oh,
like,
God,
I didn't like none of that. Like, I'm looking at him like, bro, you're way too comfortable in that City shirt already. You're
when
way
he came off, I was like, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, no, I was.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not trying to see Buddy next week. I'm not even gonna hold you. Yeah. That's one guy. Like Haaland, I'm not even really worried about Haaland. I'm really worried about him, because it's not like the center backs are gonna be so involved because he plays right under Haaland. So it's like, it's like Partey and Rice's job to really, you know, keep him under control. I don't know. It's gonna be a good game.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a good
game. I can't wait for that one.
We have a lot of good matches next week. Liverpool, Bournemouth, two is gonna be fire. So,
ooh, Champions League, 18 games all at once.
Yep.
I think Europa too, right? They're gonna do that. Play all the games at the same time.
I want to make a 25 leg parlay. That's for sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I told y'all, man. As you guys can see, the viewers, now you guys see who's glazing.
No one's glazing.
Oh, man.
World class, not yet. Not yet. World class, not yet.
Fire up the GIF, Kerry. The real glazers.
That's crazy.
The real glazers. The real owners of Manchester United are actually right here.
That's insane.
Before the Chelsea game,
get us out of here, man.
So God, I sent that message. Yeah, we're gonna see who's glazing.
If you guys could just see for a second, just a glimpse of what happens in our group chat, it's a crazy place, man. Nah, man, but good episode, y'all. Appreciate everybody for tuning in, and as always, good luck to you in your future endeavors.